What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
You jumped the gun on that music. It's okay.
No.
Listen. I didn't have my thoughts quite in order, and I had something I really wanted to start with and rant about, but I'm not going to.
Do you know what it is?
I actually have no idea now.
Oh,
it's
man.
Okay. That music is a nice little coverall to just wipe the whole world clean in my brain. So,
if you know it, though, if it pops in your head, just go ahead. Just interrupt the show. You're going to do it anyways. I'm just saying.
This. Let's start with silence until I think of it. That is what really dragged.
3, 2, 1.
I wonder how long. Oh, I don't care. I'll do it for 35
Carlos,
minutes.
Carlos just cut it.
I'm paid the same amount of money, no matter what happens here. We're going to talk basketball. We got to talk football to start. That's what I want to open with, at least to just briefly.
And then can I do the rundown?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm bummed about the Pats. I started to get into this team, as frustrating as they were this year. I thought the last week of the season, I was like, you know what? Mac Jones comes out is incredibly high.
He looks good in some, it still looks good in some, at some points.
Perfect example. He does. Perfect example, by the way, of the card market, just the insanity over the past couple of years. About a year ago, his plain Donruss paper card. Look this up on Card Ladder. Mm-hmm. Those PSA 10s, and we knew a buddy, my buddy Eric, sold one for $1,900 and $2,200. They are what, $30 now? At one point, the first couple of those.
$32.
Yeah. What was the all-time high on that? Can you find that? Wasn't it like $3,000?
Let's see. Oh, man. Was it that high? Oh, my goodness. It was. Right?
And that's vetted sales. It actually was paid for. Feedback was left.
Two sales at $3,000 and over.
Insane. And so we saw this Cinderella story. Mac comes out, leads that team to the play. Well, is on a team last year that makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then like reality sets in. The whole, we're starting with Pats talk just because I'm a bit of a homer. It is what it is.
No.
I'm a Bucks fan more than the Pats fan though, so it's not that much of a homer.
Fair.
The Pats then, you know, very mediocre. They get blown out in the playoffs and very, very mediocre this year to start for the majority of it, but somehow, and of course that Max market just crashes. I'm watching the game yesterday though, and going into the fourth, I was like, you know what? Like this kid is going to win a big game in Buffalo to clinch a playoff berth. And yeah, they're probably going to get blown out next week when it's the same matchup. Cause I think they would have played. I'm not positive what would have happened if they'd be at Buffalo or at Cincy. Either way, they're getting beat in the playoffs, but it's like,
yeah,
the narrative would have been going into next week. Hey, yeah, we way overreacted and hyped them up too much, but that cratering fall off was also an overreaction. Mac is playing really well. He's going to the playoffs again. What's going to happen next year though? They got something to build on. Ramondre Stevenson's a stud.
After his turnover.
Yeah, so then it's like a couple just horrendous. It's too bad because he played really, really well. And then Josh Allen made mistakes like he always does in big games, I find. But yeah, he played awesome. Like I thought Mac was very good until, and then you let up 2 kick returns for touchdowns. I don't even know the last time that's happened in an NFL game. So I thought the narrative coming into today was going to be like, hey, Mac might still be a thing. Like okay. There could be something interesting here. Then they end up kind of just getting kicked in the end.
But there is still a story for 2021 quarterbacks in general.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk. You can do your rundown now. My whole thing with the Pats was there's no reason to be optimistic today. You missed the playoffs, it's over. But next year, you got Mac and Ramondre. Like you have a great, excuse me, a very good quarterback, I think, potentially, because we saw steps this year, and a potentially a great running back. Stevenson can play. Like that kid's a star. So I'm not totally out on him, but I was disappointed. I was kind of excited today. Like, hey, there's a shot. And then they didn't win.
What was, I don't know, Brady's performance in his first year or two.
Well, he came in. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. He comes in and replaces Drew Bledsoe. Yes. They go on a crazy win streak and they win the Super Bowl. So
it's not that though.
No. Brady won three in his first 4 years. I mean, it's tough to follow that act up with.
I just didn't know if there was ever a time where Brady was out on the field showing, you know, mediocre performance. Yeah,
his second year, they missed the playoffs. Win the Super Bowl, they missed the playoffs the next year, go 9-7.
Yeah, but that's kind of, it's still a hard comparison if you win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, you can't compare anything. Yeah, Brady's, but my overall hobby message here is, I think there are reasons to be optimistic in the offseason. Give this thing a few months. I'd like to see where the Mac Jones market is. And Ian, even the Stevenson market, this kid could be a top. I know I'm overreacting as a Pats fan, but if you look at what he does, not only running, but catching the ball, there's a shot this kid's a top five, top 10 back next year. And he had like great numbers this year. I just think there's reasons to be optimistic. And if you're a fan of the hobby for the Pats, I think there's an opportunity in the offseason. I would just wait till things bottom out. Do whatever it is you want to do now.
Yes. So the rundown, we are going to continue our NFL playoff / Super Bowl prediction talk. That's going to involve a few cards as well, so stay tuned for that. Chris McGill from Card Ladder will be joining us. We're going to talk a little NBA as well as, I guess, a little future predictions of what he feels the market's doing. Fanatics had some news. There's some really... This is not solid news story as it has not been verified by Topps, but we are going to talk about some drama going on with Bowman Chrome and Bowman Draft. Then we got new releases. Then you got your mailbag. And now you got us going to Big Picture.
Little Jimmies were dancing,
too
baby. Late.
It was too delayed.
Your hands move quicker now that you're working out.
Thank you, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Look, you know why it is? I'm wearing my workout wedding ring, not the heavy one. So
I've lost interest in this topic. Okay. We're going to go.
Hey, wait.
Yes,
wait.
Please.
How was your vacation?
It was great. We're going to go game by game.
We didn't even get to talk about it. We didn't banter.
I think some, we're going to get to it.
Okay.
I think fine. Some of these games have major, major hobby implications. And so we're going to talk about some of those.
Okay.
We're going to go right down the list. First of all, Seattle at San Francisco. Despite what you might think, I think this has zero hobby inclination unless San Francisco loses. If Brock wins, it's baked in. He needs to win a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they will. I think they're coming out of the NFC. Seattle, I don't think there's anything there.
Here's a question for you. Talking about Purdy, though, what was the last Super Bowl? Who was the last rookie quarterback to win a Super Bowl in their first year?
Roethlisberger? Do you know the answer or are you just asking me?
I'm asking you. I didn't know if you would know because it seems like it would be a big deal.
I feel like it might have been Big Ben.
Because, I mean, in this case, this could be the next one, though.
It could have been Ben. Man, I could be missing something obvious, but I don't think
I'll do a quick search, but you keep going.
Okay. So anyways, that game, again, if they win, I don't think it means anything because he's supposed to. If Seattle wins, it's a cool upset, but not enough to make Geno stuff really pop yet, more than it has. So I see almost nothing there. Minnesota and the Giants, of course, a home game for Minnesota is the 3 seed. I think this game has some. If the Giants win, I think Danny Dimes' market takes a nice bump. Like, I think if you're holding Danny and Saquon, if you're optimistic they're going to win, I think the time to sell is Monday after the victory. Like, that's it. I'm not holding out any hope for them long term. Okay. I think they're a sell. For Minnesota, same thing as kind of San Francisco. I don't think anybody cares about Kirk Cousins, whether he wins or not. He has to win more than one. And then Justin Jefferson's already the best receiver in football. But that price is kind of baked in with him, too. It would take more than them beating the Giants for there to be any positive hobby implications for the Vikings.
Who do you think is more affected, Kirk or Justin Jefferson, if they win? Because, I mean, we've already established that Kirk doesn't really have many cards out there.
Because no one cares about Kirk. Yeah, I mean, I guess Justin, but I don't think either one of them are. That's
Kirk's never been to a Super Bowl. He's 1-3 in the playoffs.
That's what I mean. I don't think this makes a difference. You're supposed to beat this team. You won 13 games. So I don't think there's any difference there.
You don't think that people are going to jump on that train going into next year or anything?
Oh, next year, maybe, but he's got to win 2 or 3 playoff games this year. That's what I'm saying. Well, this week, I'm just talking about this week.
I'm sorry. Okay.
This week, I don't think there's anything for them to do. The next one, though, is massive to me. The Cowboys at the Bucks. I'm somebody who's hold my Brady stuff that I have left is not for sale anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't care from that standpoint. This is a weird game. In a perfect world, Because here's the deal. I have a feeling this thing goes down in flames and just ruins the last 20 years of my life. I have other reasons for optimism right now, but if Brady loses, none of that will matter after this weekend. Brady, in a perfect world to me, Brady A, wins this game and gets like that one last victory, and then who cares? Like he had the one last moment. Or B, like leads a comeback. He almost wins and he at least gives us that glimpse of like, hey, in the last 5 minutes of a game when you're down, he's still dangerous. I just don't need to see them get blown up by the Cowboys. And that's his last time on the field. I really don't. Of all the trash bag organizations in the world that I hate, the Cowboys are close and it's not any fault of their own. So hobby wise, I am saying this because I'm holding a bunch of Dak stuff.
Okay.
I think Dak is going to go into Tampa Bay and beat them. And if that happens, yes, it's only a first round game. But I said this before and I stick by it. I think if the Cowboys, the whole storyline on this is a Monday night game, by the way, Tuesday morning, if that happens, I think the whole storyline is Dak dethrones Tom. Yes, it's a 45-year-old Brady. Yeah, that team's been garbage this whole year anyways. The Bucs underperforming the whole season. But if Dak beats them, I think this just becomes a major headline. And the media loves the Cowboys anyways. Always have.
But hasn't the story been that Dak does not perform well under pressure where Tom...
Exactly. And that's why I think that even plays more to this narrative. Like if he then finally goes in, the guy who can never get the big win, goes in and beats the guy who is the GOAT, especially in the playoffs, I think people could overreact on Tuesday morning to him. Get that hair out of your mouth.
Hobby-wise, you think that... What helps the hobby better?
I think if Dak wins the game, it becomes a whole big thing. And then there's the Dak market, I think, takes a
big jump.
But there's
just so much Tom Brady out there. I feel like overall.
But it doesn't matter. He's cemented. He's the GOAT. It's over. And we all know, like at this point, I think most people with a brain are like, yeah, I know the narrative the last 20 years is, I say that word way too much, by the way. Just I know the storyline the last 20 years is Brady's the greatest clutch quarterback ever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't change. But it also, we're talking about a 45-year-old now on a very mediocre team. Playing a team in Dallas that is that Dallas team is much more talented than them.
But how old, I mean, it's not like Dak Prescott is still a superstar, like rookie class quarterback.
No, but he's a star quarterback with a big market. If he beats Tom, I think this is a major thing for him in the hobby. I think it's a major bump.
Okay.
I do. I don't think there's any, if Brady wins, I don't think it does anything. And I think there's no impact on Brady either way, quite frankly.
So I don't want to refute the things you say, because honestly, you know a lot about sports.
Patronize me.
So I did a little quick research. I asked the question, how many rookie quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl? The answer is zero.
Oh, none. Okay. So Ben must have been the second year?
Ben, Joe Flacco, and Mark Sanchez have all won, have all made the AFC or NFC championships.
As rookies.
As rookies. However, only
that was 2004.
Kurt Warner and Tom Brady have won a Super Bowl as their first year as a starter, not a rookie, though.
Right. 04, the 04 season. I'm getting my years confused. 2004, Ben was drafted. They lost that AFC championship to Tom. That's when Brady went on to beat the Eagles. Okay. That makes sense.
So if Purdy were to win this thing, he would be the first.
And no rookie quarterback has ever even been to the Super Bowl, you're saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Which would make, to me, just over that. If that happened, the hobby would absolutely explode for Purdy.
See, I disagree.
Like, what?
His market is already, of that is baked in. He has to go to the Super Bowl. I think his baseline to not have an absolute crash is make the Super Bowl.
Really? You don't think one win in the playoffs?
No, that's why I just said it. They could win this week and next week.
I'm surprised.
I don't think it means anything until at least if his pricing was a little bit lower, maybe. We talked about 2 weeks ago, though. He's outselling card for card.
Well, he's outselling, come down some.
But he's still outselling Herbert. He's outselling Burrow. He's outselling Trevor. He's outselling everybody if you go card for card. Some of that is because there's much less of his because he was irrelevant.
There's very few.
But dude, he's got to at least get there. Anything short of getting there, I think we see a big drop. Getting there, okay. Play very good and win, maybe there's a bump. And even then, short-lived because I think people still look at it after the fact. Come March 1st, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's a good young quarterback, first rookie to ever do it. He's priced higher than everybody else in the history of this game at this point. I think there's still a drop no matter what.
I would like to see what his value is. If, say, even he won, I would like to see if the cards in, say, Prism next year, when they finally come out, if they're actually as high, if you could compare those to the Justin Herberts and Joe Burrows out there.
You're saying his Prism rookie later. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that would be interesting because it'll be after the fact. The season will be gone. Yes. Then what is it? Okay, that's fair.
So anyways, but it is still just an interesting note. Wanted to go back to that. We can go over to...
last three games in the AFC.
Yep.
Buffalo, this is a major... Major on one side. If Tua plays, which is a big if, Carlos has his little fingers crossed there. He's pumped. I agree with what Carlos said off air, that if Tua plays, they got a shot. If Buffalo wins, it's a nothing story. Again, Allen has to win more than a wild card to do anything for his market.
Okay.
But if Tua somehow plays and wins in Buffalo, that's a major, major thing. And quite frankly, based on what I saw yesterday with the Pats, and again, I know everybody's in love with Allen, and I think he's unbelievably talented. He made a couple throws yesterday that like five other people in the history of the game ever make. He's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I still don't trust him to win big, big playoff games. I also don't view this as a big game yet. I don't know that Tua is going to be the Tua who had a winning record this year.
Yeah, to come off
his 47th concussion in the last 9 hours.
Yeah.
But if Buffalo wins, whatever, nothing. If Miami wins and Tua plays, major, major hobby news. The next game, same thing. Baltimore's at Cincy. If Cincy wins, good. But we've seen this out of Joe. There's no hobby movement there, in my opinion. If Lamar Jackson, look this up and see if he's going to play, by the way. Or Carlos, if you know, I'm curious if Lamar Jackson is playing next week. Seemed yesterday it was totally questionable. If Lamar plays and comes in, this is the same as Tua. If he comes in and beats Joe Burrow, Joe Cool, Mr. Young, awesome, clutch quarterback, which he is, I think Lamar's market takes a significant jump, which I think is great.
They're saying truly do not know if he's going to play.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard about Tua. So I think both of those are reliant. The only game this week that I think no matter what, there is a great positive hobby movement for somebody is the last game. Chargers at the Jags, I think is major. Either way, somebody is getting their first win. Justin Herbert, who's been a hobby darling, mm-hmm. or Trevor Lawrence, who's been incredible the last 2 months. Like we watched that game against Tennessee this past week, Saturday mm-hmm. night. It's a big game. Like winning, you're in, losing, you're out. And the kid played unbelievable. He made some really, really good throws. So one way or the other, we're going to see one of those guys with a big win. I think it helps one of those.
Obviously it helps Lawrence more, right?
No, I think it helps to the same exact situation. Neither one of them have been, neither one of them made a playoff. Obviously neither have a win. Whoever wins that game, it helps.
I just would think that Justin Herbert has... I don't know. Like Lawrence has fallen quite a bit and Herbert has not fallen as much. He did fall, but he's had a little bit of a rebound.
A little bit.
So it just makes me think that Lawrence gets the better kick.
The difference though is if Herbert wins it and looks really good, it's like, hey, we've been saying this. Yeah, we cooled off on
maybe
it for a year.
Maybe he really is.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's okay. It. The only other NFL story, and then we can talk about one other random thing before Chris jumps on. Watching Rodgers, and we've seen this narrative before. I like the word narrative.
Storyline.
Carlos, there's the episode name, narrative, is that, you know, after last season, Rodgers was leaving, he's going somewhere else. I watched that thing yesterday. I know we're making a lot of a little. I forget who it was. The player for Detroit comes up, says, hey, are we going to exchange jerseys? He's like, hey, I'm going to hold on to this one. Then he had a pretty emotional walk out and then walk off with Randall Cobb. Like, even at the end, when they're walking out of the tunnel, leaving the field, the camera guy went to get in front of him. He's like, dude, waves him away. He's got his arm around Cobb and vice versa.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that was his last game in Green Bay. This is a narrative we're going to.
Which I mean, but that's the same
the
thing.
Next time I say narrative, you hit that bleep button or you're fired. Nope.
That's the one?
Nope. Hit the other one. Try it again.
No, it's
try
not.
Try a different one.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
Hey, this is why we need to be back on YouTube. Watching those Jimmys dance on the soundboard is impressive.
It's not that impressive when I can't actually get the. There you go.
If I say the word, no, I point to you.
You didn't say the word.
But I was setting you up. Narrative.
Okay, go ahead.
If I say the word,
is that not the word?
So we're going to hear about this story for the next 4 months. Like, I don't think anybody really cares. Anybody knows anything, but it is kind of wild. If Rodgers goes to a team next year as a contender, I think it'd be unbelievable for his card market, but we are beyond speculating to even say that's going to happen. That's it. I don't want to talk about football.
It just
anymore.
Makes it the whole story, though. If Rodgers goes somewhere else, it reminds me of exactly what happened with Brady. And granted, Brady did go and win a Super Bowl, but Rodgers isn't as good as Brady. I mean,
postseason, no, but he's coming off an MVP. I mean, as of last year, yes, he had a step back.
He had
this
two
year.
MVPs, I think.
He's got four total. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. If he goes to a contender, like a team that's already legit playing well, You can't tell me they're not top three to win the Super Bowl.
But I mean, to watch Aaron play this year, or excuse me, Rodgers, it felt weird calling him by his Christian name.
Don't do that again.
To watch him play this year would make me it would make me feel that this is not the Brady of old.
Yeah, but Brady in 20...
Or not the Rodgers of old.
But Brady in 2019, they came off a... Oh, they came off the loss to the Titans. They look like garbage.
Yeah. I mean...
And then he left. He had a very average season.
I agree.
That is actually similar to the narrative of Aaron Rodgers this year. You're late. It's okay.
You didn't say that.
So I don't mind. I'm curious what happens.
Okay.
Let's talk about one other random thing now before we go basketball. Other thing on our sheet here.
We went to Gatlinburg. It's not on the sheet.
Hey,
did you
Jesse,
see what I did there?
Nobody
we weren't
wants
there.
To talk.
It was fun. We just... did you enjoy your time? It was nice to decompress a little bit. Not that everything was super stressful around this time, but it's nice. You weren't on your phone constantly. I wasn't on my phone constantly. Well, if I was, then you were. I was just trying to be
made
nice.
Made a great effort to leave it down. You
I
know
did
that.
Too. But anyways, nice to be with the family. Got to walk the streets. Got some donuts.
You did some dancing.
Did a little dancing.
I enjoy taking, I took 2 days in a row where I did nothing.
Yeah.
Card wise. I was pretty happy about it. I like to really just get away from it. So yeah, I had a fun time.
I got sucked
not
into a couple of Facebook chats and my problem. I need to just stop.
Oh yeah. We didn't
it.
Even address that. The people last week that got upset, you can't believe you're telling people to pump up eBay auctions. I stand by what I said. And by the way, I listen to a million different podcasts a week. I'll use Simmons because obviously he's my podcast inspiration and the whole first place. The reason this thing's a show,
God,
Bill says some stuff. And I think to myself, I hate that take. A stupid subject, whatever. And you know what I don't do? Stop listening. I just listen to everything because I like to hear things I don't agree with, things I do agree with. The outrage in the card world, though, when people hear something they don't like.
Well, to be fair, it was three people mainly, still.
Three people live in their parents' basement.
But it is funny how three people, you can get praise from 60 people and then three people say something opposite to it. And it's just that's all I can hear. That's all I can see.
Yeah, people got really worked up about us encouraging people on eBay. So first of all, that wasn't the context. The context was people are trying to really cash in on DeMar cards.
Take advantage of a very bad situation.
Yeah. Whereas other people went through legitimate charity, legitimate
listing it as
charity
auction, yeah.
And they sold for a ton of money and got paid for because eBay monitors those and great. But the guys who were trying to take advantage, we were reading the listings live at the time of the show. They were already bid before we said a word. People just bid them out of control because the community was you know what? We're going to make sure these don't get paid for.
That all happened before we ever said anything.
I don't have any sympathy for you.
Yes.
And I'm sick of the people after the fact. I was going to send it to charity anyways, a portion of it. Right. A $3 card you're now going to get $800 for, but you're sending 10% and you're a hero. I'm good. I don't have any. I stand by it. I will double down on that take.
Yeah.
My stance has not changed. It was
what's
the same
beautiful
with,
is if someone doesn't agree with that take, that's fine too. Just move on.
But the thing that makes me, I just find it funny that people I don't like that take, so I wouldn't listen to the show again.
But that, again, wanna, that was like one
or two
guys.
Do you just want to listen to people that always agree with you? I find that boring. But I double down on what I said. Someone like a Hank Aaron, a Bill Russell, something like that happens to an older person.
Sure.
I view it totally different. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Sell it, buy whatever. But a tragedy happens to a young guy. Yeah, my moral judgment, my moral compass. I can't believe you talk about this. We talk about everything. I think it's just stupid. I think it's a greedy, scummy look to try to cash in then. I stand by that. I don't care. Go complain on Facebook and wear your sweatpants happily. What's the next subject? Oh, we got Chris coming on.
I made nachos in Gatlinburg.
Oh, we did do that. That was a big thing. We did the tinfoil over the table.
We're going to sandwich that Gatlinburg story.
Tinfoil over the whole table.
I've only seen it on TikTok before, but we gave it a shot. It's super easy. You just pour chips on a table. Mm-hmm. You pour your toppings on there and then you just melt some cheese.
Why don't you have a food podcast? Honestly?
Dude, I mean, here's the thing about making your own melted cheese.
Yep.
You put cheese and milk into a boiling pot, not even boiling, heated. And then it makes cheese sauce. Who knew it was that easy?
Well, the tough part is scrubbing out, which me and your wife had to do for the pan, because
well,
God knows you
I
weren't
made
cleaning
it,
that.
So.
Oh yeah, the fact that you carried the one bag of trash out yesterday, when we got in the car, I literally told Hannah, I was like,
"Dear Lord,"
I told Hannah, I was like,
"I
I'm
know
super,
it said take all the trash."
I was so happy. I told her, I was like, "Hey, Jesse always does the same song and dance where he happens to get up late. He's always the last one up the day we're leaving. He's the only one who takes like a long shower and gets ready. Oh, but he comes out yesterday and he carried the trash out.
Stop it. I hate you.
It's a compliment.
You purposely wake up so you can be the white knight, the hero. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to do all this so I can blame Jesse for not doing it. I would have done it.
We had to be out of there by 10. There's no way you were getting that done.
We had plenty.
Well, you had plenty of time. I'm happy. My point is you carried a bag and I was happy. And you did... and you did some cooking.
There's your button.
The nacho thing was pretty cool.
There's your button. All right. Chris McGill's joining.
Let's talk some basketball.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns. Only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it. Believe me.
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Well, we've got Chris here after blowing us off for 6 months. Some of them late notice, by the way. Chris, anything to say for yourself in that regard? No, oh, welcome to the show. I'm sorry.
Chris McGill from Card Letter. For goodness sakes, if you're going to intro someone, use their full name and where they're from, Mike.
He's from Dallas. Okay.
Look, I mean, ever since you guys won Influencers of the Year, I've been intimidated to come onto this show.
God. I knew he's holding on to this. He's joking. This is a thing. He's not happy.
So look, I'm back. But look, I'm nervous, I'm a little intimidated. So just take it easy.
Right, you look guys? Like an angel. You're clean shaved. You got the white light behind you. It was like a halo over him.
I was going to say, I didn't know if he changed something about his hair.
That's what
but,
it is.
Oh, man.
He got rid of it. Good, he didn't change it. He got rid of it.
It's the first time I did any grooming in 3 months, as Mike astutely notices.
Thank you.
Well, so, you look solid, bro. Keep it up.
I do want to have a serious question. Then I have some things I want to rip him about.
Can't imagine.
There's some
serious.
Cool new features. No, this is.
This is
Card Letter actually has some cool new. And again, Card Letter is a sponsor we talk about. But these are two features I actually use. So I find them nice. The first is a little book thing next to the pop report.
Yes.
There's that and there's the scanning.
Yes.
Could you tell us about these two things?
Yeah. Well, the little book thing is going to take you to a full-blown pop report for whatever card you're looking at. And that was made possible by Gemrate, who we've collaborated with to do that.
Oh, that's cool. Now, is that a work in progress, by the way? Because I noticed it's on some, but not all cards, where it's showing, you know, PSA, BGS, SGC, and CSG.
It must be. Or maybe the card you're looking at doesn't have a population report for all the different companies. That could be, too.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But, like, let's say you're looking at the 89 Upper Deck Griffey, which is going to have... Every company will have graded it. You're going to be able to see a lot of stuff. You're going to be able to see how many, you know, SGC 10 pristines there are. You're going to be able to see how many PSA 10s there are. You're going to be see, you're going to be able to see how many of the total population got a PSA 10. What's the gem rate? And it's all neatly laid out for you on a screen. And then you can quickly click from one grade to the other if you want to see, you know, what the price information is on different grades.
I think too, what would be a cool feature is like if you put like maybe at the top, like even though I'm looking at say an SGC 10 of a card, if you put the all like the gem of the total gem population of that card. So if it's a 10 here, a 10 with PSA, a 9.5 with BGS, like, I don't know. I think that would be a nice feature to be able to know exactly of all the cards out there, how many have actually been graded. Math. Yeah, I know. It's I could do some math.
My point with this though is I like this feature because obviously you know this, Chris, like pop has become a catchphrase in the hobby now. Especially with new stuff like, hey, this card is only 4 months old, super low pop, and people are trying to charge outrageous money. And it could be confusing in the past and difficult because, like, you know, there are only 91 PSA 10s. Maybe this is a really low pop card. The fact you could now just look at it and be like, oh, wait, that 91 is actually 170, whatever, it changes. I do think this is a valuable tool for the collector. I was excited to see it.
It is. Two thoughts here. One, Jesse, not only is that a great idea,
Yes.
It already exists. It's already on there.
Shut. What?
So great idea. Useless power of observation.
great okay, idea. You stole it from us because we do it.
Maybe we can improve the layout.
Yeah, it needs to be bold and just say, Jesse, look here. That way everyone sees it. No, it I see it now.
It's a very good idea. And ties into point number two here, which is that I think Gemrate published that somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 million sports cards were graded in 2022. And so that means if we're only looking at one pop report, we're not getting a full story of what the circulation for these cards might be. Whereas maybe before, you know, maybe one grading company specialized in one type of card. It's just not that way anymore. So that's another thing that's powerful about this feature, is that you do get that number that Jesse alluded to. You can see how many have been graded across every company. But I say this, but I put a caveat on it, which is that sometimes, especially for older cards, higher value cards, they get graded with one company. Oh, I don't like the grade, so I send it to another company. I don't like the grade, so I send it back. So sometimes population reports, they can be inflated.
That'd be awesome if one day all the grading companies just decided, hey, we are going to report to you if we have a crack. If we crack one, hey, minus one out from that and go from there. That'd be really cool. And then the other feature, the picture, I was just using it before we started. If you're on the app, you can now, if you're searching a card, you just hit the camera button. I know there's been like a number of apps who have been working on this. I found it to be, I was like, oh, I wonder, because I hadn't even heard you guys were working on it. So I assumed like maybe it was rushed or something and it wasn't going to work great. It worked perfectly on every card that I looked at. So
good. No, I mean, so this is where we did something right, because we didn't build the particular camera search technology ourselves. We went to people who are experts and industry leaders in camera searching technology, and we partnered with them. And they built it. Nice. So, yeah. So look, I mean, they did an amazing job with the image recognition stuff. And I use it all the time. And like, you don't even have to take a picture. Like, it's nice. You know, I just open a box, whatever. I take a picture. I look up the sales history of the card. But I do it with scans. Like, if I'm going through a memory lane auction, like they just had one in this weekend, and I'm like, I wonder what the price history of this card is. I just screenshot the card from their auction. I dump it into the camera search feature, and I can get search results that way much faster.
Oh, that's cool.
Just typing it in by hand.
Yeah, I mean, basically the narrative here. Narrative, you're welcome. I've said that word 11 times now during the show.
I'm supposed to beep it. I keep missing it because I can't read his mind, so I'm sorry.
Idea. Thanks. The whole story behind this, though, is that now, I just think it gives collectors more tools to educate yourself. Because I do think that's what we've learned over the past 2 years. Like, if you don't educate yourself, you fall into hype and influencers and all the other crap in this hobby, and you just buy something because, and now it's like, no, this card has a pop of X, but the total pop is this, or hey, I can just identify a card quickly, find the comps, yada, yada, yada. I want to talk basketball, Chris. Okay. I want to talk about
let's have some fun now. Yeah, like, we got the Bulls. got the work out of the way.
All right, who do you hate in the we'll get right into it. Okay, Luca. For I want to talk about the All-Star voting too, because the first returns are back. But your thoughts on Luca, as, and this is kind of the surrounding the buildup of the question. Jesse asked me this last week. Every couple months, he has a good question. I thought this one was excellent.
I don't like that.
Do you find Luca to be a good person to buy right now? And my answer was still no. I still think he's too expensive because I don't know what he does to live up to the hype. But I'm curious what you think. You're a native Dallas man, a Dallasonian.
Well, and to be fair, you guys, I know Christina does, but you also love Luca. Is that true?
Love might even be putting it
mildly.
Too mildly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's weird. Just to clear. Head to toe with Luca for him.
I think that people who want to buy Luca cards like myself are in a shitty predicament because on the one hand, his card prices are too high, way too high. But on the other hand, I mean, we want to collect his cards. You know, he's playing really well and et cetera. So I don't know, maybe there's some opportunity in the crevices of, you know, the hobby, lower end products, you know, stuff that gets overlooked. Maybe there's not as much of a risk of taking a beating on that stuff, but it is, it's just tough, man. You know, even last year as the market had pulled back significantly, he still has that Logo Man RPA from NT sell for $3.12 million. It's just like,
that's crazy.
You know, yeah. Has this ship just sailed? Like, how do you get into collecting a player who's hasn't won an MVP, hasn't won a title, and already has a card worth over $3 million?
Yeah, that's tough. My fear, Chris. Like, what does he have to do to hold his value? And my thing to Jesse was like, dude, it's not a playoff series. It's not two. I mean, maybe it's an unbelievable showing and losing the Western Conference, but I think that is like the absolute worst he could do and still hold some sort of value here is go to the Western Conference Finals and play great in a losing effort. And that's not easy to do.
It's tough, man. Like look at, so it's funny, Luka's and Mahomes' markets have both come down like 35% over the last year. It's like all Mahomes has done is set the record for total yards in a season, gonna win another MVP, is on the team with the second best record in the league, and is a perennial Super Bowl threat.
and has won it.
Yeah.
And has won a Super Bowl and has been to another and was only able to be blocked by the GOAT. So I just don't know, man. You know, it's tough, it's tricky. But this is market wide. It's pretty rare to find exceptions to this. And you know, matter of fact, let me just do this. Let me get this little bit off,
please,
Mike, because you know I always come with an agenda.
He does. Oh.
Let me get this little bit off here.
Swear to God, if he talks about Tatum, we sign Chris right now. Okay, Jason, I don't know what we sign him to.
Sucks. No, all right. This is going to contextualize where we're at in the sports card market. So you got three major stock indices. And look, apologies in advance
here
to
we
people
go. Yes.
Who get very upset when cards get compared to stocks. We understand the differences. There are fees, thin cards, not instant liquidity, disclaimers aside. We're still going to make the comparison, all right? The Dow, which is like the blue chip index, is down 10% over last year. S&P 500, which is supposed to be kind of market-wide, is down 20%. And then you have the NASDAQ, which is heavily weighted towards tech stocks, is down 30%. 10, 20, 30. Blue chips, market-wide tech. All right?
Okay, got it.
Over to cards. Okay. We have pre-war vintage, baseball, hockey. Okay, those actually are up over the last year or flat. Then we have vintage, which is down 5%. So I'm gonna put vintage and the Dow on the same plane, you know, 5%, 10%. You have card letter 50, which is market wide, down 20%.
Same as card S&P. Letter 50,
S&P 500, both down 20%. And then finally you have our answer to the tech or the growth stocks, which was like basketball, football, soccer, modern, ultra modern, all that stuff's down 35%. So there's a nice mirroring or a parallel structure here where you have like the blue chip stuff is down 5 to 10%, the industry wide stuff is down 20%, then the growth stuff and the tech stuff is down 30 to 40%. Like we're not like this crazy outlier. We're actually matching pretty well what's happening in bigger, more well represented markets. just some food for thought there.
I like that take, it to, especially because when you think of blue chip, you think of something that's safer. And that's what we keep talking about vintage as being a little safer in the long term. And essentially this is opposite with like the NASDAQ. That's where most of my 401k is invested. And it's not been as good. Thank you, Michael. But it is funny that I've never heard that take as far as comparing all of NBA baseball and basketball, or I'm sorry, and football to that, because it is really the one that is the most looked after, the most hype affects it. And therefore it's going to have a drop if everything else is dropping. But the opposite is true too, though. If the market starts coming back,
that's the biggest win.
That's going to come back hard. And that's why I keep, we've talked about it over the last couple of months. It's like, when do you get in? Because of course, timing the market is never advised in the stock world. And I would say the same for the card world. Timing the market can be very difficult to say, oh, I'm waiting till the bottom. Well, you may be at the bottom or it may still be coming, but either way, we've seen a huge, like you said, 30% decrease. That's why I start to think, like, is this just the time to go ahead and get in? Granted, we're never going to see 2021 spikes in most of these things, but to have like things, prices where they were maybe early to mid 2022, that's definitely not unreasonable. So that's my take to follow.
Well said, Jesse. It's also just a little bit of comfort food, I think. Yeah. Just to kind of sit back and say, look, we're not the only ones getting hammered. Like, put some context on this. A lot of stuff's getting hammered.
By the way, the pre-war stuff, I can absolutely attest to. I just sent all that whole lot of stuff. I told it 9 times, but Chris hasn't heard it. A buddy's kid's gymnastic teacher, like, handed him a shoebox, and it was all T206?
Yes.
Like Piedmonts from 1909 to 1911. So I was like, dude, I don't know if these are like somebody cut these out of a magazine or if they're real. We sent them to SGC. They all but one graded. One came back altered. But I sent them over to PC. They're actually up on auction now. And like 3 or 4 of them out of the 25 are already, with like 7 days left, above the past sales.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I started thinking, I wonder if people are doing what I'm doing, which is like, I don't know what to buy for modern stuff that I want to hold for more than a week. If I buy it and I flip it quick, I don't care. But a lot of the other stuff, I'm like, why would I risk it right now? I can probably wait. So I've been going back. Just like, I'm going to buy something for my sets. I think a lot of people are doing that, which would kind of explain what we've seen.
To hear that it's above what the last sales are, dude, that is pretty cool.
One of them's like $400 already.
And it's so funny because I'd say it's pretty cool because in the last year, that wasn't the case. In most cases, like, you're fortunate to get what it last sold at, maybe a little below. But it is so funny to think, like, at the beginning of this podcast, you couldn't make a sale that was less than what the last thing that sold.
No.
Everything was above it. But yeah, it's a cool time. I mean,
the pre-war vintage thing is honestly, in the hobby, sometimes we're like passing ships in the night that don't even know each other exist. When you talk about different categories, I'm into football and basketball, modern players. I have no concept of what's going on with set collectors from the 50s and 60s, vintage baseball or something. But pre-war, pre-1945, that index and card ladder is up 30% over the last year. And if you adjust that to how the market as a whole is performing, it's even more impressive. And, 33 Gaudi stuff, the T206, Piedmont stuff. I'm not an expert in these categories. I have to learn about it on the fly as I research and like add these card profiles to the card ladder database, but it's remarkable. And so, and you say, like, what does this mean for the broader market? Well, think about this. We don't publish these stats, but I'm going to give them here in an SCN exclusive.
Oh, do we have a breaking news sound? Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. Emotional damage.
There you go. That's the one. Chris, take it away.
With great consistency, the overall secondary market that we track, which is Golden, PWCC, all the big auction houses, eBay, MySlabs, with great consistency, there's roughly $200 million a month spent. $200 million a month. And that hasn't changed. You can go back to March of 2022. You could go to September of 2022. You could go to December of 2022. That number stays consistent, even as prices on certain items come down, on most items have come down, prices in certain categories like pre-war vintage have come up. The amount of money being spent on the secondary market for sports cards, only singles, stays consistent. It stays at $200 million.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. And what's really interesting too is that it hasn't gone down. Especially if you're saying it was like that in March of last year, ultimately you would think like, oh, if that number was increasing, it'd be good. But honestly, to stay flat in a market like this, I consider that a very good thing.
Me too, Jesse, me too. And, you know, I wonder, like, you know, it's been observed that there has been a glut of high-end items coming for sale, especially in the last quarter of 2022. You look at these incredible, you know, the Golden Elite auction, PWC Premier auction, see six-figure cards all over the place. And those cards have been coming down in value. So maybe it's just like there's just this glut of them and like, you know, people are spending more because there's more cards available. But or on the other hand, maybe there's just this $200 million well that we can draw from every month. And the more cards we flood into the market, the less value each of those cards have. But if that supply ever pulls back, that $200 million is going to have fewer cards to spread around to. We might see some price recovery. Just a thought.
All right, so we kind of hit the market. I wanted to end with this little segment. So again, this is called the first returns, like the early voting for All-Stars. My contention last week, which I stand by, is we're going to start seeing the football market at least start to cool off. Overall, some guys are going to, you win your playoff games, you keep advancing, fantastic. But in general, half the teams are already gone because they're not making the playoffs. More than that, the team's going to get eliminated every week. So I think we're going to see a slowdown there. Baseball prospecting is its own world. So I don't think there's any correlation to that. But baseball in general, it's the offseason, a little bit quiet. So I think we're going to start to see the attention really starting this week and going forward, more attention spill into the NBA. Whether that's true or not, we'll see. But let's just work off the contention that is true. Of that $200 million well.
Can we work off the narrative that that's true?
The narrative is the narrative of basketball. And the narrative is there's narration here. And so that's the baseline. Like, hey, guys are going to start paying a little bit more attention. And especially with guys they think are going to make a run or are going to be able to buy and flip or whatever. So I want to pull a couple names. Let's just do it like this. 1 through 10. 1, you wouldn't spend a dime. 10, I would throw money at these guys because I think there's return in the next 4 months. So between now and the finals.
We're just talking about their hobby, not like...
Just hobby. Yeah, okay. Just hobby. And some guys I don't care. Like some of the really obvious guys I'm leaving off. LeBron, Curry, we talk about them all the time. Luke, you know. But here's some other guys. The second highest vote getter in the West for front court was Nikolai Jokic. They call him the Joker.
Never heard of him, but okay.
Nickname. Chris will tell you he is statistically one of the greatest players of all time, and he's correct.
Interesting.
Simmons said he's better than... I think Simmons made a Larry Bird comparison. I almost quit. We're going to get fired.
No, he didn't say better than Bird. He said maybe better offensively. Oh,
brother. Again, erroneous and egregious.
Erroneous.
So I'm curious, like, where you're at with Joker. Joker values... Well,
first of all, yeah. It should be disclosed. I'm a huge Jokic collector, minted as of a year or two ago. I just became a huge fan. And as I look back, me and Christina moved to Dallas to watch the Mavericks. We should have gone to Denver. You know, they're 26-13. They look like they're going to do it all this year. But
I took them to win the championship, by the way. They're going to beat the Celtics. No problem.
Interesting.
We'll see.
That's a tough matchup for anybody, the Celtics is. But yeah, Jokic, I mean, okay, here's the thing, though. Like, I was watching a break last night of Mamba Breaks late last night on Instagram. And look, they were going through Prism Basketball 2019-20, and they got excited when a Trae Young Tiger Stripe came out, and they got a little bit excited when a Steve Nash Green Scope came out, and they got super excited for the Jordan Poole Red Scope Rookie that came out. But of this Prism Choice Break, the one guy, that they a Jokic Blue Yellow Green came out, and they were just like, oh, Jokic, that's the MVP, you know, and then they just put it down. It was just like that kind of encapsulated where Jokic is in this hobby. He's respected. People know he's a great basketball player, but they're more excited for a Trae Young second year Tiger. So make of that what you will. But as a Jokic collector, I'm not ever expecting to see a day where him getting pulled, you know, makes the chat go wild in a break.
Is there anything he could do? I'm asking both of you.
Championship, but even then, he's got some stuff.
You've always said like big guys don't get the same kind of love.
He's got some stuff again. Here's a good example. It's a third year card or fourth year card of his, but I bought a select green auto of his. I think it's numbered to 49. If that's anybody else, it's big money. I think it was $104. And he doesn't sign that much. So that's my point with him.
Confusing.
On paper, it looks like, oh yeah, he's a great buy. I have him at a 5. I think he's an okay buy, but I don't know that there comes a time when there's a big spike. I'm a 5 out of 1 to 10 on him.
I like that. I like 5 because you're probably not going to get killed on any Jokic cards,
sure.
But you're also probably not going to see, you know, an Aaron Judge 4X over the course of a season type of thing either.
Okay, so we're a 5. Couple other guys real quick. Anthony Davis, I am a 5 on him as well. I think he's a glass, he's fragile. Of course, the wind blew. He's out. But I do think there's still this weird world where he comes back and they have some crazy great showing and beat one team in the playoffs. I'm a 5 on him as well.
I'm going to go like a 3.
Okay, because, more cautious.
Yeah, I'm more cautious because, look, man, he was playing at an MVP level this season.
For an hour.
Yeah.
He sprained his ankle. He rolled his ankle in midair. that was the greatest injury.
Against Jokic, too, I think.
Who doesn't play defense anyways. I mean, how does that happen? What?
So, like, that's the thing that would stress me out so much as a collector. Is like, I just want to watch. If I'm collecting an active player, I want to watch these guys' games on League Pass.
Yep.
And if this guy's out for 1 to 2 months, I guess.
So you're low on Davis. What about Zion? I am actually a little high. I'm like a 7-8 on Zion just because of how low his pricing is. And that team right now is still, I mean, tied for the third best record in the West. I think there's a weird world he wins a playoff series and like stays kind of healthy.
Man, one playoff series. This team has been playing without some combination of McCollum, Ingram, and Zion for the whole year. Dude, if they had full health, are they not the one seed? I think they would be contending for it quite closely. Again, with Zion, you have the injury concerns that would stress me out as a collector, but he's such a special player. Like, Zion is doing stuff in this league on such little NBA experience because of the injury history that he's had. Like, this guy, you just put him on the floor and he's like superstar level. Zion has the greatest true shooting percentage career figure of any player in NBA history. That's how efficient this guy is when he just steps on a floor.
He's currently voted number 4 for the front court in the West. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I didn't think you'd have that much love.
People love him, yeah.
But I mean, everyone hated him just a few months ago. So
no, everybody was mad at him.
Yeah.
For their cards not being more valuable.
Fair.
But people love Zion. But look, Zion is a risk-reward equation. If your risk profile, if you can tolerate a lot of risk. Because, yeah, Zion can absolutely explode in the playoffs. You know, don't let the Pelicans get to the Western Conference Finals. This hobby is going to be very excited.
Okay.
Almost made a crude metaphor. But
thank you for cleaning it up, Chris, because you
okay, a couple other names. Laurie Markkanen, 1 through 10.
By the way, who is that? I saw that guy. I don't.
He's a small forward for Utah. I came up with the Bulls got traded away last year.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, he had a rough go at the NBA until this season, and now he's absolutely exploded. I don't know if it's sustainable, Mike. Let me just put him one tick below Jokic. I'm going to put him at 4 because I think it's a very similar equation to Jokic, but he just doesn't have any of the hardware or any of the accolades. So let's just see.
I'm like a 1 on him only because his pricing recently has gone up, and I look at Utah, who's been on I mean, they started off unbelievably hot for whatever reason. Now they're out of the playoffs as of now. I don't like his upside, so I'm kind of average there.
Sure.
Next guy. Sure. SGA, Shai Alexander-Gilchrist. By the way, I'm a 1 on him as well. I think he's a great player, but his pricing is already solid, and that team stinks.
Dude, he had a card sell for almost $100,000, an NT Emerald out of 5 RPA.
I don't think that's terrible, though, because like, if he ever gets traded to a contender, because I don't think you're bringing a star to Oklahoma City, like that guy becomes the number 2 on a championship-caliber team.
Fair.
But I don't like him now.
Very good. No, he's very, very good, but I just, I don't know, maybe Oklahoma City, you know, remember they've got Chet Holmgren waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of picks. It's a longer term play. There's a real risk that he's not going to be worth what he is today, 6 months from now in the hobby, just because the energy will have dissipated at least temporarily. So if you're in for the long term, I give him like a 6 or a 7, but if you're in for the short haul, 2-3 range, just because it's, I don't see how it gets any better. Like the Thunder don't even look like they're going to make the play-in right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of okay. 2 more and I'm done. I'm going to tie these 2 together. The Nets boys, KD and Kyrie.
Man, you know, I really felt bad for the people who were, you know, harmed by Kyrie's comments. Let me just say that. So, Kyrie scares me a lot. And but you know what? He is the number one, if I'm not mistaken, he's the number one vote getter among guards in the East.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The All-Star. Yep. I mean, look, Kyrie has a fan base out there. Durant is playing at MVP level, but now he's out for a few weeks, which is annoying as a collector. But you sympathize. But, you know, maybe it works out for the best. Maybe it becomes, look, the Warriors made that run last year in no small part because Curry missed several months, was able to be on fresh legs for the playoffs. Klay was coming back off multi-year injury. He was fresh for the playoffs. And Draymond missed time, and he didn't play as heavy of a workload. So, like, if you can have fresh legs for the playoffs, that's such an advantage. If the Nets can somehow line up their injury luck, they've already proven they can rattle off 12 or 13 wins in a row or whatever it is. If they can get healthy at the right time, I like them. Durant's prices have fallen so low, Mike. Have you seen this as well?
Oh, that's the thing. So, like, I went in one of my famous moves in 2020. I bought, like, 60 or 65 of those PSA 9 tops, the white border. Which again, I paid $400. I moved a bunch for $500. Now they're $50, $60 bucks. But that's my thing. But just to show you, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer today if he retires. He's probably top 15 on almost anybody's board all time. They have the second best record in the entire NBA. And he's the second vote getter behind only LeBron. Like, at some point, I think people start to pay attention. And I do. And again, I'm not saying they ever get that card or any of his other cards get back to where they're at. I also famously bought two of his Topps Chrome PSA 10s for $6,000 a piece. Sold one for $11,500. I still kept the other one. I think those were $1,000 now.
Just to go back, that white border, you know it's not $50, $60 though, right? The PSA 10?
It's a PSA 9.
Oh, it's a 9. Yeah. I apologize.
But the Topps, but I do think at some point it's like, hey, wait a minute. Ooh. These guys could win in the, like, still a good team. So I'm kind of a buy on both. The Kyrie thing only because of his popularity. The fact that he was the, I think he has the third. Yeah, he does. He has the third most votes of any guard in the NBA behind Luka and Steph is amazing. And KD, I thought everybody hated KD. Second most votes in the league.
Fair, man.
I'm optimistic almost.
Yeah, his PSA 9 is at $37 right now. So
yeah, they're selling Facebook all day for $50. One silver. Yeah, they're $50 cards.
Dude, the East though, man, I look at Cleveland, I look at Philadelphia, I look at obviously Boston, best record in the league. I look at Milwaukee, you know, I look at Brooklyn. Like, the East is tough. It's tougher than the West this year. The West, who in the West are you scared of? You know, Denver, Memphis, New Orleans, and Dallas are your top four. Like, oh my God.
You know? That's what I've said about Zion, dude. Like, if I told you right now in a series, who beat Zion without any question? If the Pelicans are healthy, I think the Nuggets, I think, beat them. And I think the Warriors. I don't care that they're the 7-8 seed, whatever. I don't mess with them. Other than that, I think they have a 50-50 shot to beat any other team in the West right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is wild. Absolutely.
Health permitting. I mean, we haven't even seen these guys in full health. What does it look like when you have Valanciunas, Ingram, Zion, McCollum, and some combination of, you know, Jose Alvarado,
Herb Jones, or
Trey Murphy. I mean, this Larry Nance is like one of the great role players ever, and he's just chilling on this team. Like, this team is built to win. I love the coach. They play hard for the coach.
I think it's interesting.
I'm scared of the Pelicans. Let's say that.
All right, let me throw one last name at you because this guy we never talk about. Well, two. I'm sorry. I'm going to do two more. Donovan Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, 1-10. You're buying them with the intent to sell for a profit in the next 4 to 6 months. Where are you at on those guys?
You know, Tyrese Halliburton is quickly becoming the new analytics darling. So Bleacher Report writer Andy Bailey does a tweet once a week where he looks at all the advanced numbers, compiles them into an average of their rank in all of them. He looks at Raptor, he looks at ESPN Real Plus Minus, looks at all of them, compiles them. Tyrese Halliburton is the fifth best player in the NBA per the catch-all metrics from Andy Bailey. That's ridiculous. That's prodigy level, superstar ascension.
And they're winning. Five games above 500.
And nobody thought the Pacers were going to be anywhere close to a playoff team this year. They've gotten some good contributions from Mathurin and when Miles Turner's healthy, and they've just got these guys who play hard. But like, Tyrese Halliburton is a very sneaky potential superstar just waiting to be born. I like Halliburton. as a potential guy to get in on now. I just worry that, like, will the Pacers be treading water for the foreseeable future? You know, is he going to have an opportunity to win? But he is a really special player, and the numbers bear it out. And that's when I really start paying attention, when the numbers are saying that this guy's great.
So maybe a better long-term buy than a short-term.
Probably. Like, yeah, okay. If I were to take a real interest in how, but I'm always thinking long-term anyway. You know, I'm always thinking, like, who's a player that I could collect for the duration of their career and get a lot out of it? So I like, I think Haliburton is pretty special. Who is the other player, Mike?
So Spider. I'm so on the fence with Mitchell. He was so undervalued despite his numbers and performance and even the playoff appearances for Utah. Now he's on Cleveland. They're 26-15. Again, the biggest negative against him is, there's no world, in my opinion, they're getting above the four. I mean, maybe the three seed. But either way, two, three, four, you're in trouble because you got to go through two of those teams. Boston, Milwaukee, and the Nets. That is the killer for him, but we're also a long way off, and maybe they win a playoff series before that. He's talented. I don't know, though. I'm almost cautious with him just because of that fact. And in 10 years from now, are we even talking about this kid as anything more than a top 10-ish type guy in his own era? Never mind anything all time.
Well, these are great points. Lameme James had a meme yesterday that had, you know, Devin Booker's 70-point game flirting, Donovan Mitchell's 71-point game harassment. You know, for some reason, Mitchell just isn't getting the same love and accolades that Booker got, even though what Mitchell did is far more impressive, especially because they won. It was this crazy comeback win, and he shot an absurd percent. Dude, Donovan Mitchell is the player that has pissed me off the most going to these Mavericks games. He poured in like 30 points in the first half against the Mavericks. And it was just, you know, just seeing him just absolutely shred us was bad for my health. And I, whatever hair I had left was, you know, falling out. And I just, when a player is that deadly, and let's not forget, it's a small sample. Donovan Mitchell is one of the greatest playoff performers in NBA history.
Yeah, that back and forth with Jamal Murray a couple of years ago was ridiculous.
This guy really can go to another level. I think Cleveland is a very scary, capable team. It's just that they're young. And I don't know, his cards are cheap, man. His cards are low relative to some of the other stars in the league. I think he's a fringe MVP candidate, but he's just, in today's league, in order to be MVP, you need to do it all. You need to be getting a bunch of rebounds. You need to be dishing a bunch of assists. You need to be able to score. You need to do it on high efficiency. And like guys who are just like primarily scorers or, you know, primarily, you know, playmakers, but you can't do it all. It's tough to get that MVP conversation, I think. So I don't know if he'll ever get to that, but he's just a special, special player, man. He's so, when he's on, I don't know if there's anybody better.
Yeah, he's a great scorer. I like him. So, well, there you go. We were in need of some Hoge and some in need of some NBA talk. So I feel like you've sustained both of those.
Oh, it felt really good.
I don't think we should talk until February. I think that's fair. Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Good stuff. Appreciate the new features too. Like I said, I wanted to highlight some of those because we've actually been using them. And then, a little NBA talk never hurt anybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Who are you guys predicting for Super Bowl champs, by the way?
I never even got into that.
Oh, yeah. Jesse, do you have one?
Oh, I don't. I wanted to NFL's talk a couple
football.
Things out.
NFL is football, by the way.
Oh, well, then no, I don't.
Let's talk them up real quick. Go ahead. Well, two more minutes.
Okay.
I don't know why it's I'm pulling it up.
No. Because I have a real... I'm letting my heart make decisions when I've always said I would never do that. I'm strictly a stats man.
I would not trust that. That is one or...
That's a hurtful statement.
I'm a Chiefs Niners guy, that. By the way, just to be get that out quickly.
Yes, I am a Burrow fan, and I do think he is going to do something. I think it's going to be Burrow and
against
Purdy.
You're going Cincy, San Francisco. Okay, so two for San Francisco. Chris gave a condescending laugh, as he often does. Chris, your pick.
I don't see BC Brock being able to go all the way. And I want the Niners to go all the way as a big McCaffrey collector and fan. I'd love to see that.
I forgot about that. That's right.
I don't think they're going to be able to do it primarily because of the QB.
Okay.
I think the Eagles are this suddenly became this underrated, you know, Zamboni. just able to roll over anything in his path.
I don't know. Hurts has been injured, and he hasn't, ever since he was injured, he hasn't played as well. That's what made me nervous about.
We're not criticizing picks here.
I'm just saying.
No, you can criticize the pick.
That's the only reason why I didn't go with the Eagles myself. But fair.
But Minshew proved that Hurts is so indispensable to that team. 14-1 with Jalen Hurts and starting as a starting quarterback. I think they are so tough. I like them.
He's going Bills.
Out of the AFC, I like the Bengals.
I'm a Bengal fan.
The Chiefs in the Patrick Mahomes era are 0-3 against Joe Burrow. Like, how does that happen? What the hell is going on there?
Who is even the Vikings?
Who are your winners, by the way? So I think the Chiefs win it all. Are you two taking Joe to win it all this year? Both of you?
No, give me the Eagles. I like the Eagles.
Jesse? Oh,
yes.
Joe?
Yep.
So Cincy, Philly, we have to make this interesting. There has to be a consequence to whoever's right and wrong here. We'll come up with some details. Oh, next time we talk, it'll be February. It'll be about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Perfect
time. We'll be able to laugh at how dumb all of our picks were.
None of our teams are actually going to be
Trevor Lawrence against Danny Dimes.
Oh, I would love it. All right. Chris Hoge from Card Ladder. Thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you, man. Never even gotten to the real topic we wanted him on here for, is if sharing a hotel bed, you go head to toe. That didn't make its way in. Funny. The off air doesn't always spill into the on air. That's okay.
Maybe it's meant to be.
That's fair. Okay. There's no win with you because you snore. So it doesn't matter.
I have the snore guard,
bro.
I'm in the same room.
I've lost. That's why we were adults.
I wasn't wearing the snore guard. I wasn't wearing the snore guard on the trip.
Okay. We do need to talk about the Fanatics thing with Candy Digital.
Yeah. So if you guys weren't aware last week, Fanatics sold off their 60% stake, their majority stake in Candy Digital, their NFT platform. I think what's the really interesting news are some of the comments that Ruben made, which Ruben's like is he New York guy or Boston? He's not Boston, is he?
I have no idea. I thought he was a Philly guy.
Well, I know he's a Northeast guy. We'll just say that. So he's a very, very similar to Mike, opinionated to the point where they don't fear any consequence of the comments they make, even though their position is very high up. He was just basically blasting NFTs. It made me think, like, if it was his choice to do over again, well, of course, he probably would not have gotten into NFT business knowing where they're at. But I don't know how interested he ever was in them or how much he wanted to get into that business based on some of these comments. So I'll just read a few of them. So his first one just says, this one's the more neutral. It's the PC answer. It says, divesting our ownership stake at this time allowed us to ensure investors were able to recoup most of their investment via cash or additional shares in Fanatics, a favorable outcome for investors, especially in an imploding NFT market that has seen precipitous drops in both transaction volumes and prices for standalone NFTs.
Which is true. I mean, there's no denying that.
And that's, I mean, you're right. There is no denying it. It's just funny to hear the CEO of this company just come out and blast NFT. Usually you see CEOs be a little bit more like groomed as far as some of their statements. They don't take like a real hard stance on almost anything. But
I like it actually.
I actually knew I would.
And I actually do
like it too, just to be clear, because I do like the transparency. And that's one of the things, you know, I like about most New Englanders is they don't have a problem speaking their mind. I don't have to guess. So he goes on to say, over the past year, it has become clear that NFTs are unlikely to be sustainable or profitable as a standalone business.
Okay, now this, let me dive into this for just a second.
Well, I was going to as well, but go ahead.
Yes. This is interesting to me because we've done work with both Candy and with Panini NFTs. Here's the major difference I've seen.
Yes.
The Candy stuff, like their packs and specifically their cards, don't mirror physical products.
Correct.
Like they're just random, I like Candy. I actually like the guys we worked with over there. But like with Panini, it was, hey, well, first of all, there were tie-ins too. There'd be a blockchain card in the physical product, which cool. Maybe bring some physical guys over. But even if you were strictly an NFT guy, it was, okay, here's the National Treasures basketball NFT. Here's the Prism. I don't know why Topps and Candy never had a marriage of brands. It was weird. That part I never...
It was funny too, when we talked to the Candy people, it did seem like, you know, the left hand didn't know what the right was doing. There was no real connection in those departments as far as like, oh, hey, could we, you know, associate this with that physical card? And it was like, who do we, like, they don't even know exactly who to talk to about it.
It was a bit strange. Yeah. But like, I think Panini, say what you want. And if you don't like NFTs, by the way, fine. I don't care. I've opened 1,000 packs now. I don't like it anywhere near as much as I like physical. But I actually kind of like it because I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is the optic card of this guy. Whatever.
Exactly.
I'll mess with it. And I think in that case, it can although I guess that isn't standing alone than if it's based on a physical, but like I see those living on, but it was tough with this mod. I never got it.
The big difference too is that, and you know, I may be out of the loop for candy. I know that for a fact Panini had a market.
Put the knife down.
I know for a fact that Panini NFTs have a market and they've had a market.
Correct.
And that they can be sold in the aftermarket, not just like, but not just opening a pack, but you can go out to their auction platform and sell them for good money. I've never heard of like huge bounties with candy, or if they were, they were much more limited.
Yeah, they got innovative. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And so that's Panini where did. I do think that there's a solid difference. Ruben went on to say, aside from physical collectibles, you know, trading cards specifically, driving 99% of the business, we believe digital products will have more value and utility when connected to physical collectibles to create the best experience for collectors. So he does agree with that statement as far as like, get something involved where this has some association with the physical side of things. The thing that I think that everybody needs to do, and Panini's already doing this to some extent, is some utility. There just needs to be a utility, whether that is to get a physical card
or tickets. Remember, they were doing that for
game tickets or whatever the case may be. Just involve that more and you have a market to somebody. So that's my overall thought. Is that the NFT, they're probably right to get out of that if they're not worth, let's be honest, after a few things that have gone on with some Topps cards as of recently, as far as packs and things like that, they need to focus more on getting those packs right than worrying about candy stuff.
Yeah. The other thing, we'll dig into this story more. I mean, we're kind of running long here. 2022 Bowman draft. It looks like there's some missing autos.
That's kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah. And then even with triple threads, like the Bobby Witt. Do me a favor. Do a card letter search right now. Card letter and eBay. Bobby Witt triple threads. That's all I want you to put in.
I'll do the sales history. We'll pull eBay.
But eBay would show you active listings. That's why I was curious about that. So do both.
Bobby Witt.
Triple threads.
That's
it. Yeah. It looks like, I mean, he's on the checklist. There are marketing. There's pictures on the marketing sheets that went out. I don't, as of yesterday at least, none of these cards had seen the market. Same thing with Bowman Draft, Ramiro for the Red Sox.
It's specifically the auto though, right?
The auto. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's kind of weird. It looks like we have some, and Mikey Ramiro, the infielder for the Red Sox, his draft autos are coming out, but I don't know if he's just a crazy SP or if they were kind of left off. We got a message and got tipped off to the story on Facebook. I'll follow up more on this because I do want to get a little more data.
But yes, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird, like a missing name of, especially Witt, like that's a huge name in triple threads.
Yeah, a guy put together a report about the draft, the Bowman draft product.
It potentially is thousands of like, missing cards, potentially.
He speculates that 18,000 plus cards, autos specifically,
are missing. We need to dig into that product more a little bit, because I do want to kind of follow up on that, but... Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else, though. You have a new player coming in, you buy a company like Topps, and there's a ton of work. I just think it's a lot to take over as Fanatics comes in. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what else kind of happens with that. And we'll follow up on this a little bit more on Thursday's episode. Quickly, too, some new releases. I'm just going to hit these really fast so we can keep moving. National Treasures Baseball, especially this one. You've heard me talk about this for a couple weeks now. I think me and Eddie now have 10 cases combined between us. I love the product. Everybody's in it for autos. I think it's a great product. NT is a good product anyways, because they always have the vets, but the fact that this year you have rookie autos of Julio, Wander, Torkelson, Witt, Michael Harris snuck in. The only big name from the rookies that's excluded is Jeremy Pena. But Spencer Strider, all the O'Neill Cruz, all the other guys are in it. It's running about $600 a box roughly. I love it as a break product too. Personals, I don't love
what
it.
What do you view it as for the price though?
Yeah, good. For breaks, this is an A product to me.
Okay.
For breaks. Because I think you'll see guys, this is one of the few, you'll see guys actually break cases and like rip open cases and do single box PYTs or one or two box randoms to keep the price manageable.
It's a little less than last year's product, 2021.
Which is why, as it dries up, I think you're going to see it way overtake that, because it should. The checklist and the autos are way better this year. So yeah, I really like that. 2022-23 Panini Hoops Basketball. I think this is the first product with Blanchero and all these other guys in their pro uniforms. I just don't know about price. Is it like $120 a box?
I'm sorry. I'll have it 1 second. Yep. Hoops product is currently selling at $129, $130.
I mean, here's the only issue. Aside from Blanchero, I don't know who else you're chasing in the rookie class. Bancaro. He's unbelievable, by the way. I think it's a very weak class today. If you tell me in a year it's unbelievable, fine. But right now, I'm just very underwhelmed. So to me,
I think him and that Benedict Mathurin guy are really the only two that people seem to care much about.
He doesn't have a whole lot of a market. So my thing is with this product is I don't love it today. Maybe wait and see what the pricing does and if it comes way down. I think that's going to be the case with basketball all year, though. To me, I'm just going to focus on vet-heavy stuff because I'm not overly impressed with the NBA rookie class this year. So, okay. Now, 2022 Panini Spectra Football. Here's my big question. I don't know if you saw images of this stuff or anything else yet. Have you seen your boy in it? That is really the deciding factor for me. Is Brock in the product?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, we didn't even look into this before.
No, because originally our contact at Panini had mentioned he's going to make his autograph appearance, like his RPA appearance, in a later product this year. But I don't think it's going to be Spectra. Just to look back real quick, because I did text this guy a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey, when is this happening? And it was, first football pro RPA will either be NT, select, or encased. He didn't even mention Spectra, so I'm guessing, and I don't see any images. Now, having said that, does that mean he'll at least have some sticker autographs and some numbered cards? Maybe. Again, because here's where I'm at with Spectra. I think it's a good product. I don't know that I'm going to go. Well, give me the pricing. Actually, that's probably more important.
Yeah. So pricing on
I forgot how to speak the last 3 minutes. I apologize.
On a hobby box of Spectra,
600,
900,
900. Man, give me the box breakdown if you would.
4 autos, 4 memorabilia, 7 base or parallels, and then 1 insert.
900 bucks. Do you have 2020?
16 cards per box. I'm
trying to find the. Okay. So, I mean, to put in perspective, 2021, you're talking 1200 to 1300. So it's way, way cheaper than that. It also is loaded with vet stuff, which I like. I mean, that's a good thing. I don't know that you can touch this stuff purse. Again, this to me is probably one.
If it doesn't have a Brock in there, the rookies.
I mean, Kenny will sell pretty well. You know, Desmond Ridder played good yesterday, but he's certainly not like selling through the roof or anything like that.
I don't think anyone cares about Malik.
Oh, well, no.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's you've got to really, really be chasing big time vet stuff, which there is some nice vet stuff in here. I mean, I see Josh Allen, Randy Moss. There's a bunch of like nice dual autos. Yeah. I would say as a personal rip, I wouldn't touch it at all.
Okay.
Box break though. So would you say it was 800 a box?
900.
900. So, I mean, just going roughly random teams is going to cost you 30 bucks a spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm buying into full cases of this. I think it's too expensive. But 1-2 bucks, randoms, PYTs.
I also wonder, this is cool. Like what Blowout has the pricing at. I wonder if other people would have this any different as we get closer.
So maybe a little bit cheaper. But again, if you're going to mess with this stuff, that's kind of how I would do it then. Get into it 1 and 2 boxes at a time. Then it's a manageable price.
Okay.
Because even as a break, as a full case, I just think it's too much. So. Okay. I know that's kind of where I'm at with it. So,
Hopefully as soon as we hear something back from, I think we've got a meeting with Panini tomorrow, so we can ask them too, more specifically if they have an idea for when Purdy stuff comes out. We can address that Thursday.
That could end up being like unbelievably perfect timing. His first RPAs just happened to come out during the playoff run. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh my God.
So,
all right. That leaves us mailbag.
Yeah. Let's hit mailbag and then we'll get out of here.
Mailbag.
2 long episodes in a row. I didn't hate it. This did not feel forced to me.
No, it doesn't feel and forced. We had to cut some stuff too.
Yeah. We've got a little Gary V thing we're going to mention on Thursday's pod. We've got a little bit more of the report for the missing stuff for Tops we'll hit on. So
it
won't be a total waste of a show on Thursday.
No, not like all the other ones though. Right. Am I right?
And you know, it's nice. We don't have a ton of questions anyways here.
Boom, bam.
What, like 5.
Our first question comes from Nat Thorpe. Can you at least address what this means? Where are the turtles? What does that mean?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. I used to play that clip. Oh, no. Where are the turtles? I'm sorry. From The Office. The gift baskets. They give it to a lawyer. Oh,
that's what that meant. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I got lost it's when all that happened. All right. Let's go into the first real question then. Christopher Shoemaker. He says, I believe people have mistakenly read the name of this group to mean place to call out things you believe to be nonsense, as opposed to the nonsense between Mike and Jesse. Which is it? I'm sorry. Which is what I believe was the original intent. Do you care to elaborate?
It's a little bit of both.
It has changed. It definitely was not that. I don't think that was what it was when we first started, right?
Here's the deal. We're closing in on 51,000 members.
At this point, they tell us what it is.
It's a public group. There are plenty of people who just want to come in there and whine and complain. There was a post today about everything's toxic. Dude, it's social media. Like, enjoy what you like about cards. When you see dumb things, just scroll past it. I don't know why that's such an issue with things, but I don't know. I think the group is a great sounding board too. You have that many people who are involved in the hobby. Like, there's some posts that come up and we'll see 15 or 20 of the same posts, you know, or we'll ask about specific products. What's the feel of this product? And we'll get 300 comments in an hour. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great place for that to kind of get an overall, you know, hey, what does the hobby think about X?
Well, I actually am pro the idea of using the nonsense term in the sense that it's not negative in every case. Like, I would have thought like, oh, well, that's nonsense, which means bad. But a lot of these guys are just saying like, how crazy is this? Like, oh, that's completely nonsense. I just pulled this 101 or whatever the case may be. So call it, use it however you want is what I think. Yeah. Denton had a question. He says, if Brady and Rogers hang them up with Watt, is that the greatest class of all time in 5 years in Canton?
Okay, so I had to look this up because I wasn't super sure. Like, he's saying the greatest induction class of all time. I mean, looking back just briefly, if you just Google it, I mean, Dan Marino and Steve Young went in together. Barry Sanders and Elway went in together. 2006 had Troy Aikman, John Madden, Warren Moon, Reggie White. Pretty good. Just to go, but this was kind of the consensus, though, like top three classes of all time. Number one was 1971. You had Jim Brown, Vince Lombardi, Y.A. Tittle. Pretty good. I would argue the second greatest football player of all time in Jim Brown, the second greatest coach of all time, Vince Lombardi, Y.A. Tittle, a lot of guys would tell you, was just as good as anybody who ever played. I mean, does it rival that? Maybe. The second best of all time, according to this list, was Emmett Smith, Jerry Rice, and John Randall. Again, pretty good class. Greatest receiver of all time. He kind of mirrors Brady. Emmett Smith, a top three running back, I guess. So probably greater all-time in his category than Rodgers. And then John Randall, I guess not quite as good as J.J. Watt, but close. So that one's pretty tough. I guess you can make an argument, but I don't think those guys are retiring anyway, so I don't think it matters. But it would be interesting if they did.
Joseph Michael Harris wants to know, would you rather not be able to collect cards ever again or not be able to watch football ever again? I think I know the answer to this.
What do you think I'm going to say? Because it's not even a question.
Watch football.
Correct.
I think you could give up collecting cards.
Once Brady's done. Yep. I don't want to, but I could.
At the end of the day, you've said that multiple times.
I'll still watch. I enjoy other teams now, but not like the past. Like, I watch every Bucks game.
I could just see you going back to the Patriots, though. Like, that would be
I will, for sure. Because, like, I've seen Mac since day one. I like the coach. I still like some although the defensive players like McCourty, I grew up loving, is gone. Slater's probably gone. But, yeah, anyways.
Joseph has a secondary question, which for a three-name guy is usually unprecedented, but we'll
I don't like that we answered one.
If money wasn't an issue, what's the first thing you would fix in the card world?
Interesting. I'll be honest. I don't know.
We've had this question, at least something similar.
Yeah, no, I'm always trying to think of like a different take on this. Like,
actually, I did have a take.
You take it.
The idea that we are seeing errors in production and cards coming out is just, it shouldn't happen. And I think that either means we need more, just more bodies out there.
QC.
Or just more people handling this thing from a top-down approach. Just like, make sure everybody has everything in line. So that, and that just means more and better employment.
That's a good answer, actually. Yeah, I think to me it'd be similar with product, like work out clear distribution lines, and you know, because money's not an issue, so resale's not an issue, so have everybody get accessible product without flooding the market.
Yeah. Let's see, Casey Lee. If you couldn't get a player's rookie card signed for whatever reason, what would you consider or look for in an alternative card?
So not a rookie. I would just go then with a super low numbered card.
Oh, just low number. Yeah.
Like for me, as a matter of fact, I dealt with this. This happened right before Bill Russell died. When I came back, I was going to send off a Russell card. I had the Kuzi rookie I was going to send. I didn't have a Russell rookie to send, but I had his second year Prism Gold Refractor. I was like, oh, I'm going to send him this card to sign. So if that's the case, if you're not going to do a rookie, find a super low numbered card or an awesome patch card or something just super unique.
At that point, does it even matter if it's like a second year, like a, say it's a second year Prism card, but it's not a numbered or auto or anything like that. Nobody.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. A base card signed is not worth anywhere near like that gold card.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Okay. So you would, there's no reason to get a second year card that's not numbered or autoed.
If you don't have one of those, he's saying send it off to get autographed.
Yeah.
If your only option is a second year base, it's still an autographed card. Send it off.
Better than nothing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I would say if you can, go more exclusive, more low-numbered, yep.
Justin Durant feels like tons of people have jumped on the wax boarding train.
You meant hoarding.
Oh, okay.
I think, yeah.
All right. How do you think this affects the singles market through 2023 if this trend continues? Also, Bengals over Niners.
Not a terrible take. That's your take, right?
I did say Niners. Yep. But again, that was my heart saying it. I haven't.
Here's the thing. I think you do have people that hoard products still. And I say hoard. Some guys sit on cases because they want to see if it spikes. I don't think it's done in enough volume to impact the scarcity of cases ever. Okay. Like, there's so much being produced now. It's not like the top 50 breakers and shops in the country are saying, you know what, let's just hold this product and keep it sealed. If that were the case, singles would be incredibly tough to find. The market would spike. Some guys hold it, but not enough to really affect it. So.
Yep. I had a question that was meant kind of with Chris in mind. This will be our last one.
Okay.
The whole idea of investing in Luka is because it's hard because he's so high as is. Would you just go after his Prism box, like a box of Prism from 2018? And now I did a little looking into it.
What is
a box of Prism sells for about
$3,300.
Say the following year is 2019.
Zion, yeah.
Would be 1650. So
I'd rather have two of those.
Half of that.
Yeah, I'd rather have two than one.
Okay. Cause I was going back through and looking at the rest of the 2018 class.
Well, you got Trey. He's a monster.
But that other than Trey and Luka, there's not anybody who's just jumping out.
Who else is, I'm trying to think who else is even in
there. So DeAndre Ayton, no. Marvin Bagley,
no.
Jaren Jackson,
no.
Mo Bamba.
Okay, so nobody. Okay. Whereas with 2019.
SGA is in there.
Oh. But is that worth more than?
And Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, more than double though.
That's
Zion, Ja, yeah. Tyler Hero. I'm missing some 18 guys. I mean, RJ Barrett's still a good player.
But I mean, Luka is like how many times it? Yeah,
I take it back. If I was going to keep one sealed long term, I'd take 118 over 219s.
You would. That's what I was thinking.
Luka, because again, standalone number one. Trey, even though he's down right now, has shown that potential, and then SGA. That's a weird little X factor there. I do like that one.
My thought is if I am going to take a more aggressive investment, mm-hmm. I would do the Luka year. If I'm going to try and be a more conservative investor, I would take the Zion year just because if, like you said, Luka hasn't won a championship or anything, if all of a sudden that market falls.
None of those guys.
Yeah. Well, but 2018, doesn't that have a few, or I'm sorry, 2018 doesn't, no. I was right. 2019, Zion. Other than Zion, there were a few other investments.
Tyler Hero. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's the other one that's actually interesting. I changed my answer completely. I take 2017. $1,400 a box. Tatum, Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Bam. I'll go 2017 for $1,400. I would take two and pocket the other. What's that? $2,800. Pocket the other $500.
Okay.
Yep. That's my guess. I mean, actually, now that I'm seeing that, not even close. I would take that.
Interesting.
I might go buy one of those just for fun. I'm going to see. I'm actually going to make a post and see if I can buy one box of this somewhere for $1,000 today.
2017?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Prism Hobby. My one fear is Tatum might be a redemption for autos, but I don't really care. I'm not chasing that product for autos.
I'm going to make a post and see if I can buy one box of 2018 for $1,000 today.
Both making posts. There you go. That's your second show in a row that's been a little lengthy. I didn't mind it. Seemed like it flowed pretty well.
I'm just nervous. We're like, it says we have 16 minutes left of recording time on this ship. So this
isn't gonna save. Good.
No, it'll save. Just how much of it? Who knows?
All right. We have to go. Mike, Jesse.
Yep.
I don't know why I said that. Sports Cards Nonsense, Mike. Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. No guest on Thursday.
I don't know if that's true.
Doesn't matter. Powered by Spotify. We'll be back on Thursday with or without a guest. We will be here. Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.